night, Lee, just a little after 9 o'clock. Your mother has gone to bed. She worked this morning, came home, and filled the other half of this tape. So it's kind of up to you and I to get started on this side. I don't know how far we'll go, but we'll go a little ways. She had the advantage in the sense that she told the story of the trip, and there's very little that I can probably add that would be of interest, since she caught most of the highlights. There are a point or two, however, that I would bring in. When we got over into Formosa, every time we came in or out of the hotel, there was two or three boys around there with these Chinese snakes made out of paper. They have a counterweight of porcelain inside, and when they pull this around with a thread, it coils and goes backward and forward. You've probably seen them. 25 cents. They cause a lot of excitement. Your mother really squealed the first time she saw one. Well, then over in Bangkok, in the hotel over there, one of the hotel shops, I managed to find a wooden elephant. This thing is carved out of wood, has wooden tusks which are removable for packing. And it's only about 6 or 7 inches high, but it's well carved, and of course it has the styling of the Thailand wood carving people. So it looks a little bit different than what we think of as an African elephant. There's one of the stores that I call on that has ebony and teak wood from Africa, and they have wooden animals of various types and kinds carved by the African people. I thought you and your mother used very good judgment in that shop in Kyoto in selecting that Damascene ware cufflinks. Those are very, very fine cufflinks, and they are a good example of that thousand-year-old art which has been pursued in Japan so long. You probably or may have heard of Satsuma ware. When we were down to Kagoshima, we went over to this Satsuma factory, and we sent a vase home here. We'll probably have to pay duty on that. In fact, maybe some of the operators in there are in their 70s and early 80s, and they claim that it's pretty hard to get young people to go into the shop and do that tedious work. However, when we were over in Taipei, there was a similar factory. At least they've turned out beautiful vases over there. And it looked like a little American ideas, because there was a big building and lots of young people working, lots of moles laying around, and it just looked like a very industrious place. Looked like they're going to. As a matter of fact, I bought a catalog from there, so that any time that we want to buy any of that stuff, we can order by catalog and pay the duty on it. The way they work it, if you open a package like that at the post office, and if it's broken, you get a declaration from the postmaster, and they will replace it, paying the charges and everything. But the catch is, you have to have the statement from the post office department. You can't bring it home and open it and say it's broken, send me another one. You should have seen Marge's eyes light up the other night when she got that sweater. That was a beautiful sweater with that beadwork on it. It was a dandy, and she said she'd never had a sweater like that before. So she says, wait till the kids in the class see that if she wears it to school someday. They always get so excited if she has something different or something new on. And if she tells them that came from Hong Kong, I guess that would set the fuse. I had a phone call today from Faye Spittler. She's one of the principal ones in the sorority who organized the deal to Europe, and actually she and the travel agency here put together this trip. So she wanted us to come over for dinner next Thursday night and tell them something about the trip. And she hopes to have Mr. and Mrs. Klein from the travel agency there so that they can hear something of it too. I don't know what the whole reason is, but at least I suppose we'll go on over there and let them hear of what they can. One of the principal baubles of the trip was when we got to Taipei, and the Hickeys didn't have a visa and had to go on into Hong Kong. I probably mentioned that to you in the card that I sent, but anyway, repetition is something that you're bound to get from time to time. So I would say that if you were ever operating as a travel agency, one of the things that you should double check before you take leave of your customers is to be darn sure that everyone has the proper passports and visas to visit the countries where they plan to stop. We had a kind of a, what I termed an embarrassing situation happen to us in Manila, or happened to all of us, really. We got into Manila, and we were sent into a part of the airport, which was barred or shut off, and they actually were guards on the gate, and they, but when he left once, he took a rope and tied it all around the two handles of the door so that you couldn't get through. Well, we had planned, possibly, to see Mr. Hill over in Manila, and I had kind of discouraged your mother sending a letter and saying that we were going to be there. But anyway, soon after we got there, I tried to reach Mr. Hill by phone, and I couldn't get out of the airport. I couldn't even phone out. I couldn't even get the central operator. And there was another fellow there, and he tried it, and he couldn't do any better, and the people that ran the place were doing it. And finally, I got to raising a little noise around there, and I went over the other side with the guard's permission and talked to the assistant manager of the airline. See, this is Philippine Airlines we run. And I told him I was pretty unhappy about it. We were actually just like in a free port. In other words, they hadn't put us through the health authorities. They hadn't put us through customs. They were avoiding all that red tape for themselves, but they had us tied up there for 3.5 hours. So I fussed around a little bit about it. I didn't get too excited, but he offered to make the phone call for me, and I said, well, go ahead. Then later I tried again, and finally I got out. I got that place on the telephone. Mr. Hill was up about 60 miles away at the factory, and I talked to Mr. Hartgrove, I think his name is, who is the manager there. And Hartgrove was taking a couple of months off, and we'll be here in San Francisco, so we will probably meet him in person. He told me on the phone, he says, look, the troubles you're having, I said, he said, are minimal compared to all the troubles that we have constantly over here. And of course, according to young Halleck, well, there are real troubles there. You fool around there and you really can get into a mess. Everybody's carrying guns, and you go to a party and the troubles start and somebody gets shot and everybody just disappears and says nothing. See, you'll be pleased when you see some of those slides. By golly, that little camera, Marge's, does a nice job. Well, I guess your camera's just the same. I thought you did a particularly good job of balancing things in the picture when your mother said to you to get the whole hotel in that picture there in the grounds and at the new Atami. That's a specially good one. Well, as a matter of fact, there's quite a few good ones in that bunch. I haven't sent out my two rolls of film that I took on the regular camera that I had. Some of those pictures I took, some your mother took, but these will supplement the slides, and I suppose if we wanted to, we could pay and have slides made out of this other bunch, and it'd give us a fair number of slides to add to maybe some others if we wanted to put them all together. I'm sure your mother told you that we got a nice picture of Vietnam out of our side of the plane one day. We were shooting north. The picture was, the camera was pointed north up the coastline as we crossed into Vietnam just south of Hue. Of course, you're not in the country very long because at that speed, you're soon over into Cambodia and over into Thailand, or maybe it was Laos. Anyway, we went from Hue across to the confluence of all the tributary rivers to the Mekong. So if you draw a line from one spot to the other, and then after we hit all those spangly rivers, then we moved in a more southerly direction directly into Bangkok. A check of the map shows that we did not fly over any part of Cambodia. But if you notice where the big river ends on the Laos-Thailand border, out there is where we went in, and we probably followed that single-track railroad across southern Thailand en route to Bangkok. know Bangkok is billed as the Venice of Asia, but with its modern new airport, all the new highways, the flat land that goes for miles around there, it just looks like southern Alberta or some other, maybe a part of California someplace. It was warm the evening we arrived, but not real hot or uncomfortable. The hotel we stayed at, the first hotel, was in the suburban area closest to the airport. However, it was probably a 16-mile drive from the airport into town. We went in two cabs. That's the only place that the travel agency didn't have representatives to meet us. So Hickey paid his, and I paid for the rest, but we got the money back from the travel people the next day. So we were not out anything on the deal. Along towards evening of the first day I got back to work, Ward called me in the office, wanted to talk to me. He said, let me tell him something about the trip. Well, I told him a little bit about the trip, and pretty soon he told me what he wanted. So here I am up to my ears already in another one of those analyses of big retailer. This time it happens to be Sears Roebuck. And they are big. Did nearly $7 billion last year. They're the largest retailer in the nation and the largest retail newspaper advertiser we have. And of course, California is extremely important to them because they produce more dollars out of Los Angeles than any place in the country. So we're working on that pretty steady yesterday, and most of Monday will be devoted to it too, because they're pretty anxious to get it. You may recall that old copy of Fortune magazine I kept around here with the big tire on the front page. Well, actually, that was a story of Sears that I had hung on to. And it's kind of fortunate in a way that I had that to work from. Of course, they haven't seen the material that I'm taking from the article. So we'll see whether they like it or not. I sent a memo through on that series of calls that I made in Tokyo local representative of this outfit, and he sent a strong follow-up letter back to Tokyo urging him to get off the dime and get on this job that I'm suggesting. And he's going over there on a follow-up basis within the near future, so possibly something will come of that. There was a big Japanese ship in port here. It's kind of a trade fair ship last week, and inviting the public and different types of businesses demonstrations and booths and everything, but I was so busy I really didn't get down there. But that ship now will travel down to Los Angeles and around the Gulf ports, New Orleans, and up the east coast to Boston and back around to Vancouver and home. So it'll be a couple of months over here before it gets away. According to Marge, you spent about 2 weeks getting back after on a one-week leave. That's quite a lot of sleeping in stations and pressing around trying to get to Saigon, and then trying to get to Nha Trang, and then trying to get to An Khe. You really had quite a time of it. But anyway, I hope you kept your superior officers happy so that they were in a good mood when you did get there. Marge was thrilled to death that when you phoned her from there, and it was really an exciting thing for her. When you get your prospectus in the mail for your Fidelity Capital stock, you begin to see why this thing paid off so well for you since you've owned it. It looks like that their capital gains dividends or payments have been made in 66 and 67, but prior to that it was a very skinny thing for anybody that owned it before. So it looks like that you picked it up at the right year, even though you only got the last quarter. After all, 1/4 of something good is a lot better than a whole year of something that paid less than a year the year before than you got in 1/4. On a check at one of the brokerage houses, both Television and Fidelity Capital have been doing quite well. They're about running neck and neck. Television has a growth fund now that had an advance of 22% in this period. So maybe they're both pretty good horses. You haven't told us yet if that carp is flying over the Montanard Village or flying over the BOQ. A carp like that might cause a lot of attention. We're kind of curious what happened to it. get these hedges all cut up nicely this time, and maybe they figured out just about the right deal so that the middle of October would be about the right time to have them cut again. What do you think of that idea? Anyway, we got the little boxwood today, and the bamboo, and some of the ivy, and some of the privet. However, there's some more ivy and some more privet to do yet. Also, I did the privet above the upper lawn the other day, and it's about time to go around the sidewalk out in front of the street and catch the high hedge in the back by the tree back there. That'll kind of wrap it up for this time. Sure looks nice. Take your time, and that boxwood sure looks nice now after I clean it up. From the standpoint of the appearance of the yard, there had been considerable rain while we were away, and it just kind of warmed up just before we got home, so that everything was reasonably green. I put on a lot of fertilizer, burn it here and there, of course, but I think that we'll be able to stay on top of it for a while and keep it growing. I'm afraid that it would be burned up by the time we get home. The Childresses get their house turned over to them up at Lake Tahoe this weekend, so that's all they can think about. They got away early this morning to go up there and work. See, the house is a two-story job with three bedrooms, and the contractor puts in the foundation, runs up the studding, puts the roof on and the outside wall, interior partitions in just the studding. So it's up to Dee now to put on his sheetrock and put on the insulation material in between the outside wall and the inside sheetrock, put on plywood, fix it all up, put in the plumbing, the fixtures and everything. Of course, the rough plumbing is in, the wiring is in, but there'll be an awful lot of work for them to do, and I'm sure he's going to get kind of tired commuting from here up there and get in 2 days a week work. Later on this year, they'll take some time off, and they'll probably go up there and just work steady and try to get it finished up. Between he and that boy, they can cover quite a bit of territory. They've got a place to live out of the weather while they're getting this done, to get the plumbing in, and begin throwing their sheetrock on pretty fast. They're taking these other two kids up with them, of course. Goes around with, and I was stumped trying to think of their names there, George DeMartini and Bob Battigan. So the four of them were up there, and I guess they took two cars for this weekend, and so there's four men to work and four to cook for. So I guess that Gail and her mother will be busy taking care of that department. Your mother probably told you that she gave Gail the two ginger leis she came back from Honolulu with, and also gave Larry